People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO. WILOTV.com is live and archived for you to access anytime at your convenience. Worldwide coverage of debates, fairs, parades, festivals, local sports, and more. It's all on WILOTV.com. Now is a good time to check out the past year's events you might have missed. Keep listening to WILO as we will be adding to our scheduled lineup with more TV coverage for Clinton County from the radio station that's not afraid to use a camera, WILO.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Hi, I'm Michelle with Simple Time Antiques and Primitives, where you can surround yourself with the things you love. Antiques, home decor, and much more. We can help turn your house into a home. Walk into a simpler time of candles, home accents, furniture, and more, all in a warm atmosphere. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5, Simple Time Antiques and Primitives, the aroma of home. Half block west of the Frankfurt Square on Clinton Street. And remember to always surround yourself with the people and the things you love.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, and Compass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Now being joined in our studio by our guest, who is Frankfort Police Chief Troy Bacon. Troy, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken. Doing fine. Yourself?
Hanging in there. I can't be a lot better off if I get rid of this stupid cough and a little bit of this stupid cold I still have. But
I think it's going to linger around for a while.
It seems like everybody's got one that lingers.
Right. You're right.
So, how are things going?
Things are going well. Things are going well. You know, I was coming in here today thinking what my initial statement would be or something like that, because you always ask how I am or what's going on. But I had three opportunities yesterday. I went to Walmart and had three people stop and talk to me and really express their gratitude and appreciation for the services that the Frankfort Police Department give to our community. It was nice hearing that. Our officers don't hear that very often. And I would challenge your listeners today, if they've had a positive experience or want to share a funny story, to call in, because I know our officers do listen to your story and or listen to your news.
Listen to my story,
Sometimes you make some stories up, but listen to your program, and it might be nice for them to hear that.
Yeah. I know, as I said, you know, I know how much you love to go to Walmart. So every last time I saw you, we're not going to get into
that. I visit more at Walmart than I do shopping.
Yeah, that's probably the truth, too. But also, in all honesty, last week,
yes,
you hired another officer.
Did. Brett Wagner, local kid, and he has finished up his pre-basic. He has completed all of his requirements for firearms and physical tactics and constitutional law. So right now he's preparing for the field training phase. And then at some point, I think in January, he will go to the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy. He'll spend 15 weeks there and be trained up, and we'll graduate him and get him back on the street. But he was sworn in on September 11th, which not only is a special day for him to take his oath of office, but the day itself. So that's a day that certainly he will remember for the rest of his life.
That's true. Then also earlier this year, you swore in another female officer too.
We did, Officer Catherine. She was swore in. She's on her FTO phase, so all's good there too.
Okay, we have a caller here for you. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I have a police story.
Go ahead, Russ.
This was a few years ago, and we had a someone had come by and clipped off some copper off of an air conditioner of one of the items that we had. Probably only about $3 worth of copper. It was stupid. And by golly, the person that clipped that copper off, they left a little blood at the scene. They cut themselves. Within 2 or 3 days, the Frankfort Police Department had this person in jail. They had traced the blood and found out who it was, and he had done this to a couple other locations that same day. All I know is, you know, went to Winski's to see if anything had turned in, and you guys had already been there.
Mm-hmm.
You'd already been to Winski's to figure out, you know, what was going on. And it was just an example of all hands on deck, and gosh, it wasn't even the end of the week, and you found out who it was. So I thought that was fantastic.
Thank you for sharing that. I think I do remember that when you guys reported that theft. It's been a few years ago, but I do recall that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are other stories, but that's one of them.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Thanks. Anybody's got any questions or comments, 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463. You also announced here this week you're going to have Coffee with a Cop coming up here.
We are. That is going to be October 2nd at 8 a.m. We'll be partnering with McDonald's. So come and have a hot cup of joe with an officer and discuss community issues and just get to know your local police officers who serve you.
You know, I was a little surprised you're going to have it on a Wednesday instead of like a weekend.
That is the National Coffee with a Cop Day.
Oh, okay. I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's a national event that sometimes we'll pick those dates that work best with an organization or with our schedule, but this is the official national Coffee with a Cop Day.
But I know in the past, and it seems like all the other times that you've had this has been on the weekends.
Yes. For whatever reason, the organization that runs Coffee with a Cop said the first, this is the fourth annual, so this is the fourth year we've done it for the national event. Mm-hmm. They chose the first Wednesday of every October.
So, I mean, also a lot of your community meetings that you have is always usually on weekends too, a lot of times.
It has. You know, Ken, we've bounced them around and we've had them in different areas and it seems like sometimes weekends work best for people, but not all people. I had a meeting with Major Albaugh and Captain Skinner earlier in the week, and we discussed community meetings and how we can strategize, get back to our roots on some of these and getting into the neighborhoods and discussing specific neighborhood issues. So look for those to start popping up probably next year once we get these all
organized. I was going to say, are you going to try and have one yet this year?
Well, we're going to try to have another one, but in terms of being specific about the areas and the needs of those people living in those areas, those probably won't materialize until next year, but we're going to continue to work on having community meetings. And the Coffee with a Cop essentially is a community meeting for us.
Right, that's true. I know last month you had the opportunity to give out some free gun locks. I think you had 100 of them available. Did you get rid of all those?
We still have some. I don't know how many we've given out. The box that we have available to the community, there's less in there than there was a couple weeks ago, so I know we are handing those out. So anytime a person comes in to register for a handgun permit, we offer them the opportunity to take a lock to make sure that their firearm is stored properly and safely. And we also will give them out to anybody who comes in and asks for one.
Do you honestly think that people understand how important a gun lock is?
I think people do. I think sometimes we just get complacent. People get complacent on their firearm storage, and unfortunately, we see it far too often. Thank God not in our community necessarily, but Indianapolis and some other surrounding areas where you see a child has been shot by a firearm.
It seems like Indianapolis is, you know, gun haven for a lot of things over there.
I think they had they may have had more, a child shot with a handgun that was stored properly this week or last week.
I know it just seems like every time I look up, you know, I look on the website, it's a scene from a shooting or from whatever over there. You and I were discussing this a little while ago, and we just had this story. It's on CCDN right now, talking about, you know, large quantities of drugs being, you know, taken care of, and, you know, but by basically by older people. you know, who are in charge of, like the guy that was arrested yesterday for the head of the, 100 grams of cocaine, or kilos, I should say, and over 130 pounds of marijuana. He's 52 years old. He's up in Michigan. Had a gal here recently who was a Logan Sports. She's in her mid-50s. Mm-hmm. There was another report here recently, and I can't remember where it was from. I want to say around Peru or Cascade. I don't know. I can't remember exactly where it was. The guy, they had two guys. One was in his late 50s, and the other one was in his mid-70s. So it seems like we're having these crimes committed by older people. Are you seeing a trend like that too, or what are you seeing around here?
I think that's a trend that's been around for a while. I think the drug pushers and cartels believe that middle-aged adults appear to be more trusting than not trusting, and they hire them to move the drugs across country. There was a movie we also discussed about Clint Eastwood was in. I think it was called The Mule.
Mm-hmm.
They still get found out. We still do our interdiction techniques. But I think that's why it's happening. It's the cartels and the drug dealers and the pushers think or have this belief that older adults are more trusting, and the police will look past them.
But also, the problem is that those older people usually should have more common sense.
You know what? People get involved in these types of situations if they're down on their luck, if they're financially hurting. Mm-hmm. But we also discussed, you and I, that sometimes these jobs can be lucrative, but you can't get out of them. And once you're in, you're in. It's not the best interest of a cartel or a drug dealer to allow you to quit your job with all of the knowledge that you have.
Right.
So you might be paid nice for a while, but when you decide you want out, you're gonna be out, all right.
You'll be out. You'll be way out.
Right. But you don't. You know, who knows what goes through someone's head who's losing their house or their farm or whatever.
That's true. How is our situation around drugs? I know the stats that you released earlier this year were really good. It's going down. Still seeing that trend.
You know, I haven't ran the numbers. That's something that I'm going to share with the Board of Works next Wednesday. So I know you'll be there and you'll get those. It's time for another numbers report. I like numbers, but
yes.
We've seen drug arrests go up, but crime overall in the city has gone down, and calls for service have gone down. And what that allows our officers to do is to conduct more traffic stops, and allows our detectives to enforce and investigate more drug crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you see a lot of those arrest numbers being higher than they have been in the past. But we're no different than any other community around us. We still have the same challenges as big cities. We just don't have as much of it. But we continue to make it a priority, and we go after them.
Did the overdose awareness day do this year what you thought it should do, as far as make more people aware of what's really going on?
I was not able to attend this year. I was on vacation on the Appalachian Trail in Massachusetts.
Shame on
but,
you.
But I think that, it's been my experience with the past events that we've had. I think it's a good opportunity for people who've lost loved ones to be involved and share their stories. I think it's a good opportunity for people who are suffering from addiction to go and listen to stories and testimony that they can be pulled from that, or even get help. And overall, I think it's a good public awareness campaign to let people know that there is an issue here in the community, that we are working on it, and we are sensitive to those who are suffering with addiction.
I honestly think if we weren't sensitive to the situation, we wouldn't be building these recovery centers. Like another one for women that we're going to have, plus the one for men that's coming up.
I think it lets the community and everybody know that we're taking this serious. That we're breaking down walls and eliminating stigma, and we're providing opportunities for people who want help to get it. There's not many communities that are taking that stance right now, and I give kudos to the people who are leading this charge in the city for supporting it.
Are you guys having to use Narcan very much anymore, or has that gone down a little bit
too?
We
still use it. It's not anywhere at the levels we used to. Back in a few years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we were in a crisis. We were having some serious problems with opioid overdoses. I think with the enforcement that we've done, I think with some of the programs that have developed in the city of Frankfort and the partnerships we've been able to develop with the community and other organizations and laws, I have to give kudos to our legislators for making some of those laws a little tougher. I think it's making an impact. But as I've discussed in the past, is as we've made it tougher for those opioids prescriptions and the enforcement of it, people have decided, and the dangers associated with it, with the overdose, I think some people have decided to just go back to meth. And we're seeing a lot more meth arrests, and we're finding more meth on the street now than we do heroin and fentanyl, especially at the street level.
I noticed also, you know, that, you know, it seems like that, you know, those, you know, meth and heroin seem to be, every time I see arrests of any kind, it seems to be the main ones. You'll see a little marijuana now, and you'll see some cocaine now and then. But meth and heroin seem to be the two top drugs everybody has out there when they get arrested.
Yeah, it's weird to hear what I'm getting ready to say, but I've heard from our narcotics detectives that heroin users feel that heroin's too dangerous, that they're just going to go, it'll kill you, and they're just going to go to methamphetamine instead. Well, meth is going to kill you too.
Right.
And you can still overdose on meth. Meth will just kill you slower, but it still has the same effect. And neither of them are good. Not one's better than the other. And that's kind of the mentality.
Where did they come up with that mentality?
I think when they've seen their friends overdose on fentanyl related, you know, fentanyl or opioids, they develop that. I'm not a user. I don't know.
I'm not either.
I don't know, but I think that's probably it. You know, when you see your friend dying in front of you, when your other friends might be using meth and they're not, I don't know. Maybe that's where that mentality comes from. But neither of them are healthy. Neither of them are good.
You know, and what gets me is that, you know, how in the world, you know, especially in this day and age, unless you even if you get your normal supplier, you are not getting what you think you're getting all the time.
Well, I think that's what we're running into with some of the street level black market vaping products as well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's in it. How well is it regulated? Some of the CBD oil that you buy isn't regulated as well as it probably should be. What are the additives they put in it? So it goes back to what you said. You're buying what you think is an opioid that's safe. Well, there might be too much fentanyl in it. There might be something else laced in it that's going to have an adverse effect and kill you.
Yeah, like bug spray.
Could have.
Yeah, you never know what the heck. Yeah. You brought up something I had forgotten about, and there's a big push right now. Are you guys seeing any – what's your dealings with vaping right now? Are you seeing anything or not?
I would imagine that the schools would say that it is a concern of theirs, that it's something that they're seeing. At my level, I haven't had too many discussions about vaping with our officers. But the vaping laws in Indiana are very, because there's nicotine in it, follows the same guidelines as buying cigarettes. If you're under the age of 18, you can't possess it. But I think what a concern is that some of these companies are developing devices that are appealing to younger people and devices that are secret, that look like a ballpoint pen when it's actually a vape. And I think that's where the students get that, the younger people, and they take it into schools and things like that. There's some really breakthrough things happening out there with vape detecting units that schools are putting in across the country that in their restrooms that they don't have cameras on it or microphones, but it can detect the chemical compounds of the vape and will alert the administrators that it's going on.
Are you surprised that a lot of states are just now starting to go say, we're going to ban all these vape products?
I don't know. I think again, it kind of goes back to what we said. I think the concern right now is those flavors. What are those additives? What effect does it have on your body? And it goes back to what we said earlier about the black market stuff that we can't control. What's in it? What's it laced with? I read an article where there was synthetic marijuana laced in a vaping machine or device.
Mm.
If you've never seen someone on a synthetic material like synthetic marijuana, it's scary, and it's deadly, and it'll kill you. So those are the concerns. I think that's why some states are starting to regulate it.
You know, I think synthetic anything, unless it's been approved, and very few things like that have been approved. Basically, any kind of synthetic drug, I think you just better stay clear of it if you're smart.
Yep.
Of course, most people aren't smart when they're doing this.
They're not thinking of the consequences when they're doing it.
No, they're not. Need to take a break here for a second. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, and Compass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll be right back.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible.
Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes the best windows in your home are the ones you don't even notice? Windows that don't stick. Windows that don't have cold air rushing in around them. They don't rattle in the wind or remind you how bad they are when you get your energy bill. The best windows in your house don't fog between the panes either. Have quiet enjoyment of your beautiful new windows from the window experts at Welty Custom Exteriors, serving all of central Indiana from 800-466-7231. Welty Custom Exteriors.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Financial advice you can understand on the Dave Ramsey Show.
Today's question is from Abigail in Texas. I will begin my career as a teacher this fall. Awesome. I've enrolled in a program that I have the government loans forgiven once I teach for 10 years. Should I skip over them in my debt snowball since they will be paid off? No. You should pay them off very fast and forget that government program. Do not accept someone telling you you're going to be in debt for 10 years. That is not a good plan.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 4 to 5 on WILO.
There is a difference. Oh, what a difference.
When you invest with us, you are helping the local economy. We keep your money working right here in our area. Our interest is local. Invest here.
Encompass Credit Union, member NCUA, community-minded just like you.
There is a difference.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, and Compass Credit Union. Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guest is Frankfort Police Chief Troy Bacon. Troy, I know one of the things that I think has been pretty successful for, and I'm assuming it still is, did you did at the beginning of the year, you put code enforcement under your guys' guys, and I think that's been something that's been really good for you guys.
It continues to be one of our successful things that we've done over the last few years. The partnerships and cooperation between code enforcement and officers has been awesome. Being able to communicate issues and working collaboratively has really been a benefit to our community.
And also the fact that it seems like it's starting to clean up the community a little bit, too.
I've noticed that the other day, and kudos to everyone who's buying into that, because it really takes the community elevating their standards and buying into what's going on. Sort of like what we talked about earlier with drug addiction. You can't force somebody in to do something. They want to have to do it willingly. And that's our ultimate goal, is to get that willingness and that participation of where we're at as a city and where we're going. And I think we're on the right track.
You know, also, I honestly think, you know, if one or two people in a neighborhood, in a given neighborhood, decide to go ahead and say, well, I'm going to keep my yard mowed, I'm going to keep grass clippings where they need to be, and keep my trash and everything picked up, usually that rubs off eventually, because there's enough stuff that goes on in those neighborhoods that say, okay, you know, some people can't take the ribbing they're going to get from other people, and it kind of gets shamed into doing it. I hate to say it that way, but it's kind of the way it works.
It is, and one of the messages that we've communicated forever now, it seems like, is a clean neighborhood is a safer neighborhood. Drug dealers, bad guys, women, they don't want to be in neighborhoods that are clean and nice. They stick out, and we're starting to see that momentum, and people are taking pride in their city and taking pride in their neighborhoods.
I also know that you and I were talking beforehand, is that you're still having problems recruiting officers into this profession. And you and I talked about this earlier this year. across the country, that's becoming a problem.
It is. There's an excellent report that was just put out by the Police Executive Research Forum where they studied police recruiting and the challenges that law enforcement agencies across the country are having. And the top three reasons why let's go back to hiring first, and then we'll get to retention.
Okay. But
hiring is tough. One, we're at a 50-year low, I think, of unemployment rates in this country. So there's a smaller amount of people to pull from. This job is getting tougher every day. The challenges that our officers face on the street and off the street with regulations and new laws that are coming out sometimes makes it unappealing for a young college graduate. There's just fewer people who want to be police officers today, and that's really concerning and a very serious issue. We got to fix that, and some of that is the support that our community gives to our officers. I would encourage the community to constantly show when they can the support of their officers. They need to see that. They need to hear that. The current officers need to see that, and the ones that are considering being police officers need to see and hear that. But retention is another thing that is also lumped into that, the whole issue and problem that law enforcement agencies are having. And the top three things, according to PERF, why people leave is they leave for other law enforcement agencies. Generally, those are small departments that are losing officers to larger departments. When they do leave, they go to jobs outside of law enforcement. They decide that this job isn't for them. They don't want to do it anymore. It's too much pressure. The community maybe not support them. Media's after them. That's the attitude or perception that they have, and they leave. And the third is they go to a state agency or something like that. But interestingly, 20% of the people, or 29% of the people that leave police agencies are under 1 year. So on average, 29% of the people that leave a police agency under the year one, they'll leave under year one. 40% have 1 to 5 years on. That's the largest percentage of people that leave police agencies. And the reason why that is because that 1 to 5 year range is when they're getting trained. That's when they're learning how to be a police officer. And that's most likely when they're going to leave for another agency. And 6 to 10 years is when about 15% will leave. And there's other variations of percentages as you get older. But the longer an officer stays at a department, the lower that percentage gets. So that's why law enforcement agencies, cities have to be creative. We have to be creative on the incentives that we offer people to be police officers. It's so important to do that. And the things that we can offer them to retain them. We spend too much money. We spend too much time recruiting people, and we got to keep them when we got them. But the application pool is not as strong as it used to be. We would love to have a strong application pool that we can continue to draw from throughout the year if needed. We're not seeing that. We're not being able to get that anymore. There was an agency that's north of us who recently ran a larger agency, recently ran a hiring process, and only 10 people showed up.
Mm.
That's the crisis that we're in, and it's a large agency.
You know, one thing I've always thought, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to wrap my head around this, is that it seems like after you hire somebody, then they have to go for all this training.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like, you know, when you were saying in the first year or the 1 to 5 years, is that a possibility that you maybe need to readjust some of that thought process or change some of that? Because it seems like, you know, if they want to get involved in police work, you're not going to get involved with it until maybe a year or two after you get hired.
You mean, I guess I'm
talking about from the officer's perspective. You know, it seems like you know when you get hired, it's like we were just talking with Brett a while ago. We got all this training that's come up, and that's what, for 12, how many weeks? 12?
Well, he'll be basically training for a year.
Okay. But see, all I'm saying is that, you know, how much actual work do they get a chance to do while they're doing training? I guess maybe it's not.
A lot of the training is hands-on, especially with the field training program. But dumbing down training or making it easier, I just don't see that being a benefit at all, not to their safety and to police work, but at the community as well. I don't think people truly understand the amount of work and training that goes into every police officer. These guys and gals have to be scientists. They have to be psychologists. They have to be EMTs at time. They have to think and talk like a lawyer to win cases. They have to be up to date on all the laws that happen. There's a lot of stuff that is involved in modern-day policing that maybe wasn't so much 30 years ago.
I was going to say, and I think, do you really think that the police, the people are trying to get into that, truly understand that? Is that what they're getting into?
I think some do, some don't.
Okay. We have another caller here for you. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead. How are you on the air?
Hi, guys. I have a question for the chief.
Yeah.
You know, we've always been hearing all about the law that, civil forfeiture laws that you can take their car or their house or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has Frankfort or Clinton County, have we ever done that? Or?
Yeah, we have. We've done that in the past.
Oh.
The laws are a little bit more complicated than they used to be.
Uh-huh.
But we recently did seize a car after a drug deal. We went through the proper filings and court procedures and hearings. So we do it. It just doesn't happen very often.
Well, thank you. I didn't know that. And I have one more question. I'll ask a Vern question. How many illegals are in prison?
In prison?
Well, in jail.
I have no idea how many people's in jail.
That'd be a Rich Kelly question.
Yeah.
I'd have to ask him. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Sorry I called. I guess I didn't.
That's all right. That's not a problem.
Thanks,
Kim. Appreciate it. All right, bye-bye. One last thing I want to ask you before we think about getting out. What should we expect from your department for the rest of the year? Anything coming up exciting? Or
well, I would be remiss in saying that we're dismissing this, but we're in the middle of a hiring process. So if you feel that you meet the standards and want to be a police officer for an awesome police department in a great city that does support you, go online. You can go to the city website or go to our Facebook page, click on the link and read what it takes to be a police officer. We offer a competitive salary and excellent benefits. The deadline to apply is October 25th, and our testing will be November 9th. So check that out if you're considering a fabulous career in law enforcement. But other than that, Ken, I would just encourage people to stay in tune with our social media accounts and the press releases that we send out to keep people informed.
And also, don't be afraid to maybe get involved with your community police force that you got.
Absolutely. And we start our Citizens Police Academy tonight. Captain Jake Myers runs that, and that starts at 6 o'clock, and that will run for about 10 weeks, where we educate community members what their local police department does.
Does he want to take anybody now? It's after the fact, or do you want to just, you know?
I think right now he's scheduled he's got his schedule set, and how many people are coming. Invites have been sent and accepted, so I think he's ready to roll.
Okay. I didn't know, because I really had forgotten, because it kind of came up a little bit quicker than I thought. So.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before I turn you loose?
Nope. Just thank you for having me on, Ken.
All right. Take care, Troy. Appreciate it. That's going to do it for the show today. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, and Compass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Everybody have a great day. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.